Jesus, didn't they?
Didn't they? I mean, he was a likable person. Think about it. I tend to think about how just likable he was. He was kind.
He was considerate. He was loving. He was serving.
He was smart, but not cocky. He was popular, but wouldn't interact with people who weren't necessarily so. I mean, what's not to like about Jesus? Everybody liked Jesus. So how about 100 likes for Jesus today? How about that? Get out your phones, your smartphones, get out your tablets if you have them, you know, and just everybody post, I like Jesus. Like Jesus. Well, let's see how many likes we can get. You can get 100 likes, and at least from this group. We ought to get 100 likes, don't we? Well, maybe you don't have Facebook, so tweet it or text it. Just do that. Send an email to everyone on your contact list. I posted a couple weeks ago this idea of liking Jesus, and I got a whole bunch of likes. I got a whole bunch of likes. I like Jesus. They like me because I like Jesus. I guess what they like the concept, the idea of liking Jesus. Cool. But guess what? Jesus wasn't liked by everybody. He really wasn't. Read Mark 3, for instance, 20 through 30. And you see there that some people thought he was weird. Others thought he was really crazy. At times, even some of his own family members thought maybe he perhaps been out in the sun a little too long. And there were others who thought he was a blasphemer or a servant of the devil. So not everybody liked Jesus. And believe it or not, not everybody likes Jesus today. People think the same way that people thought about him then. Not everybody liked Jesus, and not everybody likes Jesus. I've shared before that Mahatma Gandhi liked Jesus. He didn't like his followers. They liked him. He reportedly said, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Gandhi thought Jesus was a good man, a good teacher, but that's about as far as it went. There's a lot of people in that category today, too. Did you know that? Though they say they like Jesus, they reject his claims. They don't like his claims. They don't like his teaching. And they have no use whatsoever for his church. Now there's obviously some points we can make here. We're not called to like Jesus. We're called to believe in Jesus. And we're called to believe in what he said and what he taught. And again, we're actually being called not to like him, but to be like him. Yeah, we're called to be like him. Not to like him, but to be like him. It's sounding like a Geico commercial. If you're a Christian, it's what you do. If you're a Christian, it's what you do. You strive to be like Jesus. Now, there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians, but they have no goal in mind whatsoever to try to be like Jesus. They may say, I like him, but they don't try to be like him. And you know how inconsistent that is? Because the idea of Christian is someone who is a Christ follower and imitator. Who does that? So if you're a Christian, yes, that's what you do. Now, to be honest with you, I'm convinced if we were more like Jesus, more people would like the church as well. I do believe that's true. We'd be a lot more attractive to the world than we often are if we were more like Jesus. Or at least, again, if we were imitating him as he instructed us to in John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35. Jesus had just washed dirty, stinky feet of his followers.
Even those of Peter who would deny him and Judas who would betray him. Jesus just got through washing their feet, serving them. And he said in verse 34, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. He expresses, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, he says this is a new commandment, and the newness of it is that it's imitating him. It's imitating him. See, it's being like him. It's loving like he loved. It's being like him in that regard, serving as he has served. Now some try to fulfill this with routine foot washing services. But Jesus makes it clear that it's not a ceremony that he was intending for us to participate in. Listen as he elaborates on the point just a couple chapters later in John chapter 15. Verse 9 through 13. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I've obeyed my Father's commands, and I will remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this. Love each other as I love you. Then notice this next part again. Greater love has no one than this. He laid down his life for his friends. So what's the example to imitate? Washing feet once or twice a year in a ceremony? As meaningful as that might be? As sincere as that might be? No, Jesus is talking about a lifestyle, not a ceremony. He's talking about a life service, not a service. Participating in it. Love like him. And I'm convinced if we would love like him, if we would be like him in that regard, yes, more people would like us. But would everyone like us? I mean, if we love like he did, everybody would love us in return, right? They'd have no choice. They couldn't help themselves, right? Again, not necessarily. Remember, not everyone liked him as loving as he was. So if we truly imitate him, if we get it right, we won't always be like you. Right after instructing them to love one another, Jesus told his disciples to keep in mind that the world hated him. And if they hated them, it was because they hated him first. John 15, 18. See, he told them, everybody's going to like you. Everybody like me? Everybody's going to like you. So if you're like Jesus, that doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to like you. They're not. Well, why not? How can they keep from liking his followers? Well, perhaps part of the reason is because though people shouldn't have perceived their message to be one of condemnation, any more than Jesus' message was one of condemnation. Many did precisely that. Jesus would say in John 12, he didn't come to condemn the world, didn't come to judge it, but to save it. But there would be a judge, the very words that he spoke, John 12, 48, following, read it. But he didn't come to condemn the world, and his message wasn't one of condemnation, it was one of salvation. And that was also the message of the apostles, his followers. But people didn't perceive it that way. They were offended by the very idea that they were being told they needed a Savior. They're unwilling to accept that they were sinners who could not possibly save themselves by any means. As Paul would later write to the believers in Corinth, the message of the cross was foolishness to them, if not downright sacrilegious. There were people who rejected Jesus, disliked Jesus, because of his message and their perception of it. And there will be those, if we truly, truly are like him, and we truly teach and preach the things that he taught and preached, won't like us either. Jesus also because they considered him to be judgmental in that regard. They thought he was judgmental. He made no bones about calling people out, particularly if they claimed to be righteous but were not. He spoke very directly to them. He was direct in his criticism of hypocrites. And they did not like him for it. They did not like him. Now he warned his followers to be careful in their judgments. Matthew 7:1, he said, "Judge not, lest you be judged. By the measure you use to judge people will be used against you." The later apostles would caution believers not to pass judgment on fellow Christians. Both Paul and James are clear about the need to extend mercy, even as we perceived it. But they stress that we're making constant personal judgments about right and wrong in our own lives, and to recognize sinful behavior in the lives of others too. Not to condemn them, not to judge them, but to judge that that behavior is inappropriate. It's not right. It's out of step with God's will and desire for them. See, we can't claim to love people like Jesus did if we don't point out their sinful, destructive lifestyles. Parents, if you care about your kids, you ignore their improper attitudes. You ignore them. I mean, if you love your kids, then you pay no attention to their behavior when it is destructive. Of course you don't ignore it. Of course you pay attention to it. And you call that attention to them as well. You let them know that. Friends, real friends. How about them? Do they just allow for their good friends, the people they care about, to make whatever choices they do and never say anything to them about it when it's harmful or destructive to them and others? Do they just not ever say a word? Not if they really care. Not if they really care. The key is to speak the truth in love, even when it may not be received well or cause people to no longer like us. To still speak the truth, but to do it in love, considering again their need to hear the truth, even if they don't want to hear it. This requires great discernment. It requires the Spirit's help. But again, if we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to do that. Whether the Spirit's leading in that. For consistency in our proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ will likely ruffle a few feathers once more. Yet it's undeniable that if we're going to be disliked, even perhaps hated, it should be precisely because we're imitating and reflecting the image of Christ. Let it be for that reason. We all want to be liked. I think we do. But I'm afraid sometimes we're more interested in being liked than being like Jesus. We're so concerned, you know, that people and that they look up to us and they regard us highly. We're more concerned about our relationship with them than we are our relationship with God sometimes. And sometimes we're more concerned about our relationship with them and theirs with us than we are in their relationship with God. And that's so unlike Jesus. That's so unlike Jesus. I'm afraid, again, that our social media encouraging us to have as many friends as possible, even to post those things that will get as many likes as possible, have influenced us to live our lives up. It's all about wanting to be liked. I want to be liked. But laying down our lives like Jesus isn't about winning friends. It's about imitating Christ. In the way, primarily, that we love others and care more about them than anything else. And not their comfort, but their eternal salvation. Christ's mission, what drove him, was to seek and save the lost. You know, to be served or to be liked. The love, tell people about the love and kind of Christ extended to them, though they were sinners. I don't know if we find that to be a good message. I don't know for what. We know the fact that some disliked him so strongly, hated him so strongly, hated his message so strongly. Love like Jesus, if we live like Jesus, if we imitate Jesus, if we're really, really strongly dedicated to being like Jesus, it might not give us as many likes as we'd like. But if we're more like Jesus, isn't that what it's supposed to be about? Christians. Isn't that what it's supposed to be about? I'm convinced that if we would be more like him, more people would be drawn. But let us never compromise truth. Let us never water down the message of Jesus in our attempts to be liked. Let's never do that. Because in the process, hear me, God will like it. And neither will Jesus. And who do you want to be liked by? Who do you want to be loved by most? It's an important question. To say it takes discernment. It takes a sensitivity to Jesus, to his message, to his word. To him, to be like him in this world. I believe that what it really requires more than anything is for us to spend so much time with Jesus. Yes, in his word, in his teaching, in the gospels, in prayer, in meditation, we spend so much time with him that he transforms us. He changes us. He makes us like him in the process. But maybe what would help would be a closer walk with him. What do you think? That's great. Father God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Not that you loved it, but love us. You loved us in spite of the things that you saw in us. In our behavior that was so far removed from anything that could be considered like it. You loved us and you sent Jesus to live among us and to teach us and to show us and to demonstrate what living like you want us to is our life. We thank you for his example. We thank you that he lived like we can have life in time. God, I confess before you, I want to like it. I do. I don't like people to dislike me or be turned off by anything that I say or do. But God, may I care more about what you care about. And I pray that it be true of all of us. That we would be that does not mean, that does not mean that we ever, ever compromise what you call us to be, what you call us to do.